We continue our learning. Nishma, Susan, Basleya, Helen, Basleya, Davim, Nachmush, and Yaakov, and Pinchas Leo. We are in Bava Mitzia, Perakei, Mishnah Gimel. Marchalo Asasadeh, Venasan lo Mixas Domin. You have a case where Reuven sells a field to Shimon, and Shimon gives a down payment, only Mixas Domin. He doesn't pay the whole thing. Amarlo, Reuven says to Shimon, whenever you want, you can give me the remainder of the payment for this field, and then take that which belongs to you. Says the Mishnah Asur, this type of arrangement is prohibited. What's the issue that with Shimon now not paying the whole thing, giving a down payment, and then paying the balance at a later stage? Because it's not clear whether Shimon will end up actually buying the field. Maybe he won't pay the balance. If he pays the balance, he'll acquire the field retroactively from this moment, and that would mean that the ownership of the field from the very beginning was Shimon's. If he ends up not paying the balance, so then he never acquired the field, then the field now below the field is still Reuven's. If that's true, then at this moment, who is able to eat from the produce? The seller can't benefit from the produce, because let's say Shimon ends up paying the remainder. He gave the down payment, now he ends up paying the balance. So if we allow Reuven to eat the produce during this time, and the field retroactively becomes that of Shimon's, so then the seller, in this case Reuven, will have taken the produce as payment for waiting for his money. So that's not allowed. That would be a potential problem of ribis. Nor can Shimon benefit from the produce during this time, because let's say he doesn't end up paying the balance and doesn't acquire the field at all. So then, by eating the produce now, we would view eating the produce because he gave money to the seller. He gave money to Reuven. Oh, so Reuven, because you lent money to Reuven and gave him this down payment, he's giving you the benefit of eating the peiros. That's also a problem of ribis. And therefore, we would not allow such an arrangement unless we don't allow anyone to eat the produce. You hold the produce in base, they hold it in escrow, and then we figure out who actually buys the field in the end. And then, okay, then you give the money out. Then you pay, or rather, then you give the fruit, and then the produce you can give to whomever it really belongs to. Just no one should be eating it now to avoid the problem of ribis. Let's say they made some type of tanai at the beginning, that the Shimon, who is the buyer, is able to become the owner of the field, not retroactively, but when he gives the final payment, when he gives the balance, there's no problem. Because then the seller is allowed, Reuven is allowed to use the benefit of the field, of the produce, until the payment is made. And let's say they make some type of stipulation at Tanai that the Lokeach will acquire a part of the field, meaning based on whatever price he gave in the down payment, that proportion of the field is able to get, so then he can benefit from the field to whatever extent he paid. So that would also be okay. And let's say they made some type of agreement that when is the sale going to be final? At the time of the down payment right at the beginning, and will view the balance as not the rest of the payment, but rather that's a loan. So then obviously the buyer can use the produce and benefit from the field right from the beginning, because we say that he bought it at the moment of the down payment. That's what the Gemara says on Daf Samachay. The Mishnah says this arrangement is prohibited, but we see obviously there are ways around this problem. Then the Mishnah says, Hilvo al Hasada. Another case. Here you have someone lends someone money with a field being security. So let's say Reuven lends Shimon money, and Shimon says, okay, Reuven lends him $1,000, and then and the Bashkon is Shimon's field itself. If Shimon doesn't end up paying the $1,000 back, so then Reuven is able to take that field. Va'amar lo, that would be the normal case of a security. Va'amar lo, and what did the Reuven say to Shimon, the lender say to the borrower? Imatano sinli mikan vad shalosh shanim harei shali, which means, if you don't pay me back in 3 years, he gives him 3 years to pay back the loan, then I'm going to take the field. The field is going to be mine, but when retroactively from the time of the loan. If they make that type of arrangement, Hare Hishalo, that is a valid transaction. And if in fact Shimon doesn't pay back the debt within the 3 years, retroactively Reuven becomes the owner of that field. Based on what we learned in the previous case, we understand that the same thing should be true regarding using the field. Since the ownership of the field is not clear during these 3 years, where the produce is held in escrow, till either Shimon pays back the loan, or 3 years go by. 3 years go by, so then, okay, then at that point, we know exactly who the produce belongs to. And let's say, and what would the problem be if we allow Reuven to use the produce before that time? So if Shimon ends up paying back the loan, so that, which means that the field always belongs to him, so the produce that is being given, that Reuven has been using, would be considered interest on the loan, would be considered ribis, and that would be a problem. Then the Mishnah concludes, V'kachaya baisos benzonin oseh api chachamim. He would do the, this person, baisos benzonin, he would lend money with the security of the field, with that the mashkon would be the field, and it would do that with the security of the field was actually worth more than the loan. And what would he do? He would become the owner of that field if the lover would not end up paying back during that time period. And even though you'll say maybe it looks like the lover is selling his field to the malva, in this case the malva being Baisus Benzonim, as schar, as reward for the hana of the halva, for what because of the fact that, well, I'm getting a benefit from a loan, so therefore I'm selling you the field in return for that. So no, the chachamim were not concerned that that would be a problem of ribis at all. The only issue would be the use of the fruit, and that, we said, obviously should not be done. Perakei Mishnah Dalet. Ein moshiven chenvani lemachzis sachar. So the Mishnah here tells us, and this is the concept of a heter iska, is based on this Mishnah, and the Mishnah is telling us the following. A person should not, a chenvani is a storekeeper, and moshiven means to set up to some type of arrangement where lemachzis sachar, it's going to be for half profit. So what does this mean? So a person wants a chenvani, a storekeeper who knows the business a little bit, so he wants to hire him, commission him to sell his produce for him. So let's say you have Shimon is a chenvani, is a storekeeper, and Reuven wants to do some business, and he figures, okay, let me, I'm going to give produce, my wholesale produce to Shimon. Shimon is the chenvani, he's going to sell it for him and sell it at retail prices. And the goal here is for him, for Shimon to work for Reuven's benefit, and they're going to divide the profits that they earn. So Shimon's working for Reuven. Reuven now makes this arrangement with Shimon, the chenvani, for machzis schar. Hap machzis schar means that Shimon's going to sell the produce at retail prices, and they're going to gain from it, and they'll divide the profits that are earned. So what's the problem with this? So the Gemara calls this an iska. Iska is some type of investment, some type of business arrangement. And the problem with this is that we view this as a half loan and a half deposit, which chatzi halva, chatzi milva, and chatzi pikadu. Why is that so? Well, half of it is a loan to the chenvani, to the storekeeper, to Shimon. Why? Why is that a loan? Because he's going to receive profits or suffer losses of that portion. So that's like a loan. He doesn't only gain from that, he potentially could suffer the losses. So that is like a loan to him. And half of it is a pikadon. It's a pikadon that belongs to the one who's investing in it, to Reuven, because the profits and the losses of that half are belong to him. So what's the problem here? Because we view the chenvani in as he's managing the portion of Reuven, Shimon managing the portion of Reuven who invested in it, we view that as if it's a compensation that Shimon is giving Reuven for the loan of the other half. And that's considered like ribis. So Shimon, the fact that Shimon, the storekeeper, is involving himself in working for Reuven, for what? For Reuven's half. And the first half that's given to him is his Shimon's own. That's like a loan. So because he'll gain profits, but he may suffer the losses as well. So in benefit for that loan, he's going to work on the other half of the investment, which is the pikadon, which is the deposit on the behalf of Reuven. So that's the problem that he's working for. It looks like he's working for free and working for free for the loan, and that would be considered interest on the loan. We'll see that there's a way out of this, and that of course is if Reuven pays Shimon for his work. And the Mishnah says the same thing with true when it comes to coins. V'lo yitein ma'os likach bahen peros l'machzis sachar. Person should also not give money to a chenvani who's going to purchase produce and in the shuk, and then he, the Shimon, the Chenvani, is going to sell that produce retail. This is where, not that Reuven gave produce to Shimon, but Reuven gave money to Shimon. Shimon's going to buy produce, and Shimon's going to sell it. And there's also an arrangement here that the Chenvani will receive half the profit of the investment. And the other half is going to Reuven, who invests in it. And this is the same problem. Ella, Im Kain, says the Mishnah, this is only allowed. Im Kain, no stain, no scharo, kipoel. As long as Reuven, if you want to make this arrangement, so then Reuven has to pay Shimon wages. He has to pay him for his work. How much does he pay him? Kipoel, like a worker, like a laborer. What does that mean? So the Gemara and Daf, Samaches, says it means, if let's say, you know, Shimon may work at some type of job that involves a lot of work and gets paid for the, you know, the schlepping that he does and the time and the effort that he puts in here, okay, he has to arrange this type of selling. Maybe this is a little easier type of work. So what would he be willing to, how much money would he be willing to accept to leave the more difficult work for which he gets paid more money and engage in this easier one? It's not going to, which is obviously in that managing the investment is not, it doesn't take that much effort. Whatever that money is, that's what he's going to pay. And others disagree. Maybe another way to explain what it means gets paid to the poel. But the bottom line is that as this arrangement is okay, and it's not a problem of ribbis, as long as Reuven is paying Shimon for his work, and it's not that Shimon is working for Reuven for free because of the loan that he received in this investment as machzis sachar. Then a Mishnah says, "Ein moshivin tarnegolin lemechtsa." You're not permitting hens. What are they doing? So the hens are what they do in advance, which is similar to the other arrangement as well. You have hens are going to sit on the eggs. Someone has eggs. Let's say here, yeah, Reuven has some eggs, and they potentially will hatch into chicks, and you need a hen in order to warm them and sit on them. So Reuven hires commissions Shimon, who has the tarnagoles, to have it sit on those eggs, and obviously the eggs will go up in price when they hatch. And this arrangement is lemechtsa. Once again, the Shimon, who owns the hen, is responsible for half the loss. The eggs could spoil. It could be that the chicks die. So half of the eggs we view are a loan, and half are our deposit or pikadon. This is chasi milva, chasi pikadon, just like the cases above. And therefore, he, unless he's going to pay him, he's managing Reuven. Shimon's managing Reuven, the investor's share, because, as a thank you for the loan of the other half, and that's going to be Ribbis Drabanan. As we've been discussing, it's Ribbis, but this is Ribbis Drabanan in all of these cases. So again, Ein Moshivin Targol Lemechtsa, and Ein Shamin Agolim Usyachim Lemechtsa. Same thing would be true where you evaluate the calves or the young donkeys. And what they normally do, you assess their value and then give them to someone to raise for a couple of years, and they'll divide the profits. But of course, if something happens to them, so once again, it's chatzi mil vechatzi pikadon, elim kein no sein lo schar amalo, unless he's going to pay him, once again, schar amalo, the wage of amalo, of the toil that he puts in. That's also, they say he's going to be paid as a poel. That's the simpler way to understand the mission. Mizono, says the mission. Not only schar amalo, but mizono, which means the one who's taking care of the chicks, let's say, has to be paid also for he's spending money on feeding them. And of course, the same thing would be true when it comes to the animals that are eating a lot more, the agalim usyachim, the calves and the young donkeys. Also, money has to be paid. Obviously, you have to give him the money, Shimon, for feeding them. But then the Mishnah says, avol mekablin agalim usyachim lemechza, as opposed to ein shamin agalim, assessing their value lemechza, which is this chasi pikadon, chasi milva, which is a problem of Ribbis Drabanan, but you can be mekabel calves and young donkeys lemechsa. What does it mean? So here, Shimon's going to care for them. They don't. You don't evaluate what the value is now, and then let's see how they go up in price. So therefore, why would we evaluate? The whole shaman, the whole idea of evaluating them, assessing their value now, is to see if they suffer a loss. You know, who's responsible? What was the value now, and how much did we lose? But if you're not evaluating them right now, we're not assessing them at all, which means that Shimon's not responsible for them if they die. But if they're assuming that they live, so they're going to share in the profit, so there's no loan here. Because we're not evaluating them to see, oh, there's a loss, and now Shimon has to pay Reuven for the loss. That's not true. So he's just being paid here. He's going to share in the profits. So there's no loan involved, and therefore he doesn't have to be paid for his work or for feeding the animal. You don't have to pay him for that at all. So that's where there's no problem of ribis. Umegadlin osan ad sheyehu mishuloshim, and it says, and you raise them until they are now a third of Mishulashim, this stage of growth. This is where the meat tastes very, very good. So that's where they usually, when they have a shutvus, a partnership, and selling calves, they usually end the partnership now so they could sell them. And vachamor achete toenes, and a chamor he would raise, accepting a donkey to raise it until the time of that it's able to be towing a burden. So that's when they usually, the arrangement of some type of partnership would usually end. It's at that point that they would split the profits. And that's what the Mishnah means. In these cases, you can be mekabela galim siachem lemechza, and you raise them until what people typically do, until they're the calves, until they're a third grown, and then it's sold, and they split the profit by a chamor until it's able to hold a burden, and then they sell it. And that type of arrangement is allowed because there's no half that's considered a loan, because they don't evaluate them at the beginning, and there's the potential loss that is the responsibility of Shimon, of the Chenvani in this case, and this therefore arrangement is acceptable. And he does not need to be paid at all for his labor.